For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is November the 27th, the first night of Hanukkah, and we are in Shmuel Perek Chof, chapter 20. So we just had the episode of David HaMelech running away because he was attacked by Shaul. First he ran to his home, and then from there he ran away again because Shaul sent agents to kill him, or just bring him to him to be killed. So then he ran away to Shmuel, and we had a whole discussion last week about what he and Shmuel were doing in the Nevuah, the prophecy that took place, and the Nevuah that even overtook Shaul himself. As we mentioned last time, David does not feel safe. Shaul has now attacked him again, even after Yonasan had restored Shaul and David's original relationship. And then it seems that Shaul was unable to avoid the Ruach Ra, this evil spirit. And now David does not feel safe. So where is he to go now? So he essentially has two choices. He can either run further away or remain in hiding. He could try to do that, which is hard to do, but he could possibly have done that, to try to remain in hiding. And we will have an example of that later on in Malachim, of a person who knows that his life is in danger and he just hides and remains in hiding. And Hashem tells him to remain in hiding. Anybody know who that is? That's Eliyahu.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Eliyahu, right. Is going to be is going to be threatened by Achav, the king, and he will remain in hiding until Hashem tells him to appear to Achav. Mm-hmm. So David could try to do that, and eventually he's going to have to be on the run to avoid Shaul. But his other choice is to try to find a way of not having to run away, to try to try to alleviate the situation, or at least to try to figure out what's going on. Because the last thing David knows is that Yonasan managed to get Shaul to have good feelings for David. So the Navi tells us, Vayivrach David minayos barama. David then ran from Nayos barama. Vayavoni came, Vayomer lifnei Yehonasan, and he said in front of Yehonasan, Me'asisi, what have I done? Me'avoni, what is my sin? U'me'chatasi, what is my sin and error? Lifnei avicha, in front of your father. Kimavakeshes nafshi, that he is trying to kill me. What have I done? So instead of trying to be on the run, David first goes to Yonasan. Now, why is he going to Yonasan? Because David is confused. Here, Shaul and he were back on good terms, and then all of a sudden Shaul attacked David. David knows that last time Shaul tried to kill David, Shaul told his close confidants, including Yonasan, that he wanted to kill David. And that's why Yonasan had David hide in the field, and then he spoke to Shaul about David, and David came out of hiding, and then everything was good. So David therefore presumes that if Shaul attacked him, then Yonasan must have known about it. So why didn't Yonasan warn David? If Yonasan knows that David's life is in danger, which David is assuming he knows because last time he knew, then why didn't Yonasan warn David that his father was going to get him? So the only possible reason why Yonasan wouldn't have warned David is
he didn't know.
If he did know, then the only possible reason they didn't warn David is
father told him not to.
Well, that didn't stop Yonasan before. I mean, Yonasan, if his father is doing something wrong, Yonasan, you don't have to listen. Not only you don't have to, you're not allowed to listen to your parents if they're telling you to do something wrong.
Yeah, because Baruch will keep him from saying anything.
I guess that's possible. But what would be a more practical?
That Yonasan wanted it to happen.
Okay, that Yonasan would have agreed with his father to kill David. Now, why would Yonatan agree with his father that they killed David? If Yonatan was such good friends with David and had such closeness to David, why would he agree with his father to kill David?
Because Yonatan was the next in line.
Well, that would presume that Yonatan also got swayed by the jealousy and by the ruach ra, which is possible, but David doesn't seem to suspect that. It seems, you see from what David is telling Yonatan, that David now is suspicious that Yonatan has discovered that his father's interest in killing David is actually correct. Not a good idea, it's correct. That it's the right thing to do because David has sinned. David has done something wrong, and therefore it's not wrong for his father to kill David. Until now, Yonatan was working with the presumption that his father has no right to kill David. But if Yonatan allowed his father to try to kill David and didn't warn David, then it would appear that Yonatan now agrees with his father that David deserves to be killed, which is why David goes directly to Yonatan, not afraid that Yonatan will kill him, and says to him, "What did I do wrong? Tell me, what's my sin that your father wants to kill me?" Vayomer lo, so Yonatan said to David, Chalila, says, Chas v'shalom, lo samus, you will not die. Hine lo yasa avi davar, gadol o davar katon, my father would not do a big thing or a small thing. For lo yiglat azni, and wouldn't reveal my ear, wouldn't tell me about it. Umadu yasir avi mimeni es hadavar azeh. And why would my father hide from me this thing? Angels, it's not so. Yonatan denies that his father would have wanted to kill David. Now, Yonatan says back to David, I don't know of any sin that he's coming to kill you for. I don't know that he's coming to kill you. He would never do this without telling me. When I last checked in, he was fine. He was happy with you. He wasn't trying to kill you. Why would that change? And he didn't tell me about it. So Yonatan, at first, is not willing to accept David's assessment. And he suspects that David is misreading the signs, that his father didn't try to kill David, but David is so super sensitive to his father possibly trying to attack him. David saw his father do something and, as a result, believes that Shaul wants to kill him. But Yonatan says, that's not possible. My father didn't tell me about it, and he would never do something like this without telling me about it. Now, what is it that David saw knowing that Shaul wants to kill him? Remember, David was playing on the instrument and
he threw a spear at him.
And it hit the wall.
Right.
Right? And it went in, it was thrown with such force, it went into the wall and embedded itself in the wall.
And that's the same, you still had to let him out the window to run away, so obviously he knows Shaul.
Well, no, that's because Shaul sent men to the house, but that doesn't mean he wants to kill him.
Oh.
Right? But throwing the spear at him, that's pretty obvious.
Right.
Yeah. Vayishaba owed David, and David swore again. Vayomer, and he said, that this is the explanation. Now, he's giving a plausible explanation why Shaul didn't tell Yonatan. Yadoa yada avicha, your father surely knows, ki matzasi chen beinecha, that I have found favor in your eyes. Vayomer, and he said, al yedazos, Yonatan, let Yonatan not know about this, pen yeyatzev, lest he be sad. V'ulam, however, chai Hashem v'chein avshecha, I swear by Hashem, and I swear by your life, ki chifesha beinu v'einam avis. It was one misstep between me and death. I was this close to death. It could have very easily happened. So David swears to Yonatan that this is not some subtlety that he's misreading. This is clear and obvious that his father was out to kill him. So Yonatan is convinced. By Yomer Yonatan al David, Yonatan said to David, Ma tomer nafshecha, what does your soul say? Ve'esalach, I'll do it for you. So Yonatan now he's listening fully. He gets it. His father did want to kill David, which means that we have a new approach that hasn't happened yet. Now there has been an overt attempt on David's life, and Shaul did not tell Yonatan first. It shows the extent of the ruach ra. We had an attempt that Shaul had on David's life before, but it wasn't obvious. He tried. Remember, he tried twice. David happened to move out of the way.
Nice.
But he wasn't throwing anything that if he would miss, it would be clear to David that he was trying to kill him. David had no idea at that time. And then Shaul tried more subtle means. He tried to send him out to war so the Plishtim would kill him. But the progression has now been ratcheted up a notch, because now
Shaul overtly attempted to kill David, and this time he did it without any consultation with Yonasan. So Yonasan recognizes this is now a grave danger, because Yonasan can't talk his father out of it anymore, because his father's not talking to him about it. Vayomer David Yonasan. David said to Yonasan, so here's the plan. Hinei Chodesh Machar. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. V'anochi Yashov Eishevim HaMelech Lechol. Normally, I sit with the king to eat. Normally, on Rosh Chodesh, I join the king for the meal, as do many of the entourage of the king. V'shilachtani, so you should send me away. V'nistarti v'asad, and I'll hide in the field ad ho'erev ha'shlishis, until the night of the third night. Meaning that Rosh Chodesh is 2 days, so you send me away until the third night, which would be there is a discussion here how to read this, but it would seem that it means today is one day, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and then the second day of Rosh Chodesh would be the third night from now. So until then, I'm going to hide. I'll stay in the field. Im pakod yifkideni avicha. If your father wants to know where I am, he remembers me, and he asks you, "Where's David?" Mm-hmm. So Martin, you'll say, "Nish only shall me many David la roots beis lechem iro." David asked me if he could run to beis lechem, his city, kizeva chayamim sham lecholam ishbracha, because he has a sacrifice of days, which means they have a get-together every once in a while over there for the whole family. So he has a family reunion in Beis Lechem. So he asked me if he could go, and I let him go. In Koyomar, if thus says your father, Tov, good, no problem, then Shalom Lavdecha, that'll prove that your servant is in peace, that your father is no longer trying to kill me. It will prove that the episode when Shaul got the nevuah at Ramos at Noyos Barama, that kind of got Shaul back to not being jealous of David. V'imchara yechera lo. But if he's angry, why I'm not there? Da, you will know ki chol sahara me'imo, that the evil has now been complete from him, which means that if he's upset that you let me go, that means he wanted me nearby so he could kill me, and he's upset that you let me go. You see, he knows that I just ran away from him. He knows I ran to my home and then I ran to Shmuel, but then there's this episode of Nayos Barama where Shaul got Nevuah. So if Shaul still wants to kill me. Now, Yonasan doesn't know that Shaul wants to kill David, which means that Shaul is hiding it pretty well. And if Shaul still wants to kill me, then what he's banking on is that he will think that this episode with Shmuel and the Nevuah has convinced me not to be afraid anymore, and then I will just show up for that Rosh Chodesh meal, as I always do, and then he'll be able to kill me. And he'll be upset that you let me go. If in fact, he really wants to kill me. But if he is feeling better about the whole thing, if this whole episode of the Nevuah kind of snapped him out of it, then he won't mind that I went away. V'asisa chesed al avdecha, you should do chesed to your servant. Ki bivris Hashem heivesa es avdecha imach, because in a covenant of Hashem, you brought your servant in with you, meaning me, you've made me a covenant with you. V'imyesh, so do me, you'll do chesed with me, which means you'll protect me. V'im yesh bi avon, if I do have a sin, if there really is a good reason why your father wants to kill me, hamisini ata, then you kill me. V'ad avicha lama zeh sivieni, why bring me to your father? Meaning that if, in fact, I deserve to die, then you do it. Because if I deserve to die, then I deserve to die. So why should you be afraid to do it? If you feel that it's true that I in fact deserve to die, then you should kill me. Well, why let me go to your father? By letting me go to your father, then you're bowing out. You're saying you don't want to take responsibility. What do you mean? Either I'm chayav to die or I'm not chayav to die.
if I'm chayv to die, I'm chayv to die your hand too. If I'm not chayv to die, I'm not chayv to die your father's hand either. Mm-hmm. So either one. But don't just let me in the hands of your father. Vayomer Yohanan son Yonasan chalila lach. Chas v'shalom. Kim yodoa eida. If I know. Ki chal sahara meim avi rabo alecha. If I know that the evil of my father is going to come to you, v'lo ata agid lach, v'lo osa agid lach, and I won't tell that to you. Of course I'm going to tell you. Of course I will tell you if I know that my father wants to kill you. I'm not going to hide that from you. V'yomer David el Yonasan, David said to Yonasan, mi agid li, who will tell me if the coast is clear? Oma ya'ancha avicha kasha, or if your father answers to you in a harsh way, how will I know? Who's going to tell me? How will I find out? Mm-hmm. David is concerned that he's relying on Yonasan to be the person who's going to find out for him. But then how is he going to know? For sure his father is going to want to keep tabs on Yonasan, knowing that Yonasan might go tell David. And if in fact Shaul is out to kill David, and David is convinced Shaul is out to kill David, David believes this is going to be a formality, that Yonasan is going to go and discover for himself that his father wants to kill him. See, David is trying to make it that Yonasan will know for himself, that it won't be doubting that in fact Shaul wants to kill him. But now I'm relying on you. Shaul is going to keep tabs on you, and David is concerned that if Yonasan is not really fully on board, fully convinced that his father is wrong, then perhaps he'll be a little sloppy in letting David know. So David is afraid he's lost his real ally. So what to do right now? Vayomer Yohanan son of David. Yonasan said to David, let's go out to the field. And they both went out to the field. Now they're going to have a conversation in the field. Why does Yonasan tell David, let's go out to the field?
Well, private.
For privacy. So we can have a private conversation.
No one will overhear them.
Right. So, did David not want privacy? Why did David not originally take Yonasan out to the field?
Because he had to be reassured that Yonatan didn't want to kill him. You're not going to tell Yonatan to go out with you to the field. If you think he's going to kill him, if you're not sure.
Okay. David wasn't sure where Yonasan stood anymore, so he had this conversation with Yonasan in Yonasan's chambers. But then Yonasan says, let's go out to the field. Now, in taking David out to the field, what is Yonasan projecting to David?
That he believes him. That he probably believes him, that his actual fear of being killed by his father is correct.
Well, that may be true, but more than that, whose side is Yonasan on?
David.
Right. By taking David out to the field, Yonasan is saying to David, wait a second, we got to have this conversation in private. This is between me and you. We're gonna take care of this problem. And we're going to make sure that we don't get, no one overhears.
Now, is this the same field?
I don't know.
That they were talking about earlier.
I don't know. And is it the same field that David was in the first time?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's the same field or not.
Okay.
I would imagine it's not the same field because David's going to hide in this field, and if it's the same field, then you imagine that's the first place that Shaul would look. But okay, and so they go out to the field. Vayomer. Now here, Yonasan is going to give a very clear, his very clear intentions to David with a very clear plan. Remember, Yonasan was the planner before. Also, he's the one who planned last time, David hiding in the field, and then Yonasan speaking to his father, and then David coming out of hiding. It was all Yonasan's orchestration. So Yonasan is going to orchestrate once again. Vayomer Yonasan al David. Yonasan said to David, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, I swear by Hashem the God of Israel, ki echar es avi, I will investigate my father. I will look into my father. Ka'es machar hashlishis. At the time of tomorrow, the third tomorrow, which means 3 days from now, which means on the second day of Rosh Chodesh. V'hinei tov el David, and if it turns out that it is good for David, which means my father does not want to kill you, v'lo az eshlach eilecha v'galisi esaznecha, and then would I not send for you and let you know? Meaning I will certainly send for you and let you know if it turns out that my father is speaking good about you. Now, if that's the case, we don't need to have any stealth. I could send a messenger to tell you. Because if my father does not want to kill you, then there's no reason to be in hiding. We don't need to tiptoe around this whole, to tiptoe around this whole thing. We can just, I'll send a messenger to you. So Hashem should do to Yonasan and do even more. Now, that language of so Hashem should do to me and more is a language of an oath. It's saying that, and if I don't do the following, then whatever consequences you can think of, Hashem should do that to me and more. And I accept all consequences if I don't do the following. What's the following? Kieti v'alavi etara olecha. If my father wants to do bad to you, now notice the language. If it's good for my father to do bad to you, right? Because Shaul doesn't think it's bad. Shaul thinks it's good. V'galisi etaznecha. Then I will let you know. I will personally tell you. I'm not going to send anybody. It will be my personal neck that I'm going to risk to come to tell you that my father wants to kill you. Vishilachticha, and then I will send you away. V'halachta l'shalom, you will go in peace. And you'll go into hiding. V'hi Hashem imach, Hashem shall be with you. Kasher hayoim avi, like he always was with my father. Then, if in fact my father wants to kill you, and I discover that, then we know the die is cast. Then we know it's time to run. And you need to go into hiding. And we know that that means that you will remain in hiding until it's time for you to assume the throne. And you should go in peace, and Hashem will be with you like he was with my father. V'lo imodeni chai. Now, I don't need to ask you the following if I'm still alive. If I'm still alive, when you do assume the throne, if after you run away, if it turns out my father wants to kill you, and you run away, and then you stay in hiding until it's time for you to be the public king, then I have a request. But I don't need to ask this of you if I'm still alive. Because if I'm still alive, v'lo sasa imadi chesed Hashem v'lo amus, you wouldn't do the chesed of Hashem with me and I won't die. In other words, if I'm still alive when you become king, then we both know you're going to take care of me. I don't need to ask you the following request. But if, in fact, I am dead when you become king, which is a very, very strong possibility, because how is David going to become king if Shaul is out to kill him? David is going to usurp Shaul and his family. The most likely way that will happen, as we've mentioned many times, is
Shaul gets killed.
Shaul and his sons get killed. So Yonasan knows that if his father wants to kill David, until now they're trying to work it out that David won't have to run away, that somehow there could still be some supporting role that Yonasan is able to play in the Malucha, in the kingdom of David. But if this is not going to work, Yonasan knows that the most likely outcome is going to be that he and his father and his brothers will be killed, and then David will become the king. So if that happens, then I ask the following. You should not cut off your kindness with my family forever. And not even when Hashem cuts off the enemies of David, each man from on the face of the earth. And the very first enemy of David is my father. So I know this is going to happen. I know we're going to have some violence. And when that happens, and Hashem kills your enemies, which is going to happen, I ask that you take care of my family. Yeah, even though my family are descendants of Shaul, I ask that you take care of my family. Vayichros Yehonasan based David, and Yonasan made a covenant with the house of David. Ubikesh Hashem Yad Oyvei David. And eventually, now this is the Navi now narrating. This is not Yonasan speaking. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, is the Navi telling us, Yonasan made a covenant with the house of David, and eventually Hashem sought this covenant from the hands of the enemies of David. The enemies of David over here is a euphemism, means from David. Because eventually, as we will see when we get later on in the Navi, there will be an episode where David will, in a subtle manner, transgress this covenant. This covenant is going to be very challenging for David. And there's going to be two ways that this covenant is going to be challenged. One way is not going to be David's fault. And he will rue the day that it happens, and he will take vengeance on those who make it happen. That's one episode. There's going to be an episode later on where the some of the descendants of Shaul are going to be killed by the government. David is going to have to order the execution of Shaul's descendants. He's going to be forced into it by the Givonim, as we will see later on. And David, because of that episode, is going to make a very harsh decree against the Givonim who will have brought this about. Not out of a vendetta against them, but because of how cruel they are, he's going to make a very clear statement about their cruelty. And we'll get to that Mirtz Hashem and Shmuel Beis. But there will be another episode in which Yonasan's descendant Mephibosheth and one of the slaves of the house of Shaul, which is Tziva, are going to dispute a field. And in ruling that field, ruling about the field, David will end up ruling in a way, he's going to end up splitting the field between the two of them, which will not be favorable to Mephibosheth. And we will, at the time, we will discuss what David will do wrong. He's going to do a very subtle thing wrong in adjudicating that situation. And it is there that the Navi tells us over here, Hashem will seek out this covenant from the enemies of David, which means from David. He will punish David over there for having transgressed this covenant. So in Shmuel Beis, Mirtz Hashem, when we get there, we will see what happens and how David will, in a subtle manner, transgress this covenant. Yud Zayin. Vayosef Yonasan Mahashpia as David. Yonasan continued to take an oath with David. Behava so also with his love for him. Ki avas nafsho ahevo. Because the Navi is testifying for us. You should know. This has not changed. Yonasan loves David like his own soul. Okay. Now, so they've agreed. Yonasan has convinced David that he is absolutely fully in David's court, that he will faithfully test his father to see what's happening, and if it turns out that things are bad for David, he will personally come and send David away, and knowing that it probably means his own death, and asks David to take care of his descendants. Okay. Now, the Navi tells us, Vayomer lo Yonasan, Yonasan now says to David, Machar Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Vinifkarta, you will be counted. You'll be asked about. You'll be remembered. Ki paked moshavacha, because the place where you normally sit will be empty. It'll be unaccounted for. Now this is a repetition. We already know tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. That was David said this to Yonasan. Mm-hmm. Yonasan is now parroting back to David, David's own plan, but he's now going to add more details. Because remember, Yonasan is a strategist. We've seen this several times before. Yonasan planned. So here, David had a plan for Yonasan. It seems that Yonasan feels that he can put the finishing touches on this plan. He's going to now make a plan, which is what they're going to follow, which is going to follow along the lines of David's plan, but it's going to be a little bit more fleshed out. And there's going to be a very important addition to David's plan that Yonasan is going to add, which will be extremely significant in how this is going to play out. Mm-hmm. It would seem to me, although I can't say this with certainty, but it would seem to me that the way that David and Yonasan are interacting here, and the way they interacted the first time when Yonasan's plan was that he hide in the field and all that, is a window into what it would have looked like had Shaul not pursued David, and David would have peacefully, without any violence, David would have assumed the throne, and Yonasan would have been a supporting role to David, what would have that looked like? David would be the king, not Yonasan. That the kingship is ripped away from Shaul. Yonasan is not king. But what role would he have played?
Chief advisor.
Chief advisor, right. But a chief advisor who can take a good idea and then put it into action, to add the details, to put in the little bits of you know, to make it perfect. It seems like that's where Yonatan's strength is. It seems that he has this strength more than David. Mm-hmm. That David is in charge. David is the decision maker. David is the one who may come up with the grandiose idea. But it is Yonatan who would have played the role of how to make it perfect, how to tweak it here, how to adjust it there, and how to add this thing here, and he would have made it into the perfect plan. It seems that that's how they would have complemented each other. With the demise of Yonatan, David loses that. David loses that. And I would say as follows. All that is going on between David and Yonatan, we have to remember that we're reading the action in the palace, in the field, etc., and on the battlefront, and like that. But we also know that David and Yonatan's primary area of interaction was what room? The Beis Medrash. That was their primary area of interaction. The Gemara talks about how they were both incredibly learned, Talmidei Chachamim, and that in the end, David is slightly greater than Yonatan. But Yonatan is great in his own right. And in the learning of Torah, in the figuring out what the law is, in figuring out what to do, etc., the same way that David and Yonatan are interacting in the field, in the battlefield, in the palace, etc., it would appear that was the way they interacted in the Beis Medrash as well. That when they learned together, the halacha, as the Gemara tells us, always followed David. David was the one who merited being able to arrive at the halacha, at the correct way that the practice should be. That in the discussion, in the argument, in the debate, in the going back and forth, David always was the one who the halacha followed, because his understanding was greater and was able to arrive at the halacha. But then what role does Yonatan play? Yonatan still plays the role of taking that halacha and putting the little adjustment there, the little addition here, the little tweaking over here, to make it perfect. That's where Yonatan's role would have been in the Beis Medrash itself. The Beis Medrash doesn't work with people sitting and studying to themselves and then announcing their findings. That's not the way a Beis Medrash works. You know, the age-old style is the Chavrusa style. Mm-hmm. A Beis Medrash is shocking to people who have never been exposed to it, who expect it to be like a library, which is very quiet. Right? And a Beis Medrash is anything but a library. A Beis Medrash, when it's full and vibrant, is loud, and there's a cacophony of sound, and there's excitement, and there are people who are animated and agitated and trying to make a point and using not just words but their whole body language to try to make a point, and there's discussion back and forth, an argument here, an argument there, and another person comes in and throws in his two cents, and it just goes back, and the dynamic, it's alive, is a Beis Medrash. Therefore, when the halacha is arrived at, it's never one person. It's never that one person has figured it all out, and that's it. Now we know the halacha. That's not the way it works. The way it works is that everybody is playing off of each other. And eventually there may be someone who emerges as understanding it perfectly, and this is the correct approach. But it is the result of the debate, the talking, the arguing, the proving, the disproving, the questions, the answers, that after all of that goes through and everybody filters everything, then there's going to be someone who emerges with the most correct approach. But it's a result of everything that goes on. Yonah's son's role in the Beis Medrash, as in other areas, was one of a supportive role, in which although David was the one who was able to assess the halacha properly, the best, but it was with the assistance of Yonah's sons pointing out, one second, there's this flaw. Hold on, we have to deal with that problem. What about this little addition over here? It's not perfect because there's a problem over there. There was that going on in the Beis Medrash. With Yonah's son's demise, David loses not just his closest friend and ally, not just the person who they have felt a spiritual bond with each other that transcends all other bonds, but in the Beis Medrash also, there is now a void because that role is now gone. The question is, does someone else fill that void? That's the question we're going to have to tackle later.
So when the decision is made, as it is in the Beis Medrash debate, when does it go to a Paisik? A Paisik when there's an answer to someone.
I'm talking about the Paisik. How does the Paisik know? That's what I'm talking about. How does he know? The Paisik is not someone who figured it out all by himself. It is through all of the debate and all of the learning. Now, you are correct. You could have somebody who is a standout, who he's much older, much more experienced, much more learned, and he's able to rule all kinds of things. That is a result of all of what I'm talking about. He may have reached a point where anything he's being asked, he understands it all so well. It's all right, but in theory, even the great Paisik, the great Gadol, who knows it all, there could be a new question that comes up, and he himself will go and debate it with others before arriving at a conclusion. So now Yonason is going to reiterate the plan, but with more details, as we will see. And as I mentioned, there's one critical addition. So again, Yurches 18, Vayomer, from Pasuk Yurches till the end of the episode, is the Haftorah for Machar Chodesh. When Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Sunday, so Shabbos is the day before Rosh Chodesh, we begin reading from here. Vayomer lo Yonason, Machar Chodesh. Yonason said to him, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Well, if Sunday is Rosh Chodesh for us, then on Shabbos, we would accurately say, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. So we read from here. We have to understand, it that seems to be just coincidental. I mean, it's really cute that we're going to start off with a pasuk that says, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, but why do we read it on the day before Rosh Chodesh? More than that, you can ask the question, why is this episode tied into Rosh Chodesh? Now, you could say it was coincidental that this all happened the day before Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is the day that David will be missed. So therefore, it all revolves around Rosh Chodesh. But, as we will see, there's much more to it. Rosh Chodesh is pivotal in the whole story. So he says, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, v'nifkadata, you will be asked about, ki pakid moshavecha, because your place will be empty. You won't be here. V'shilashta, on the third day, which means the third day from today, which is the second day of Rosh Chodesh, teired ma'od, you should go very far down, meaning you should get really hidden, because on that day, the search parties are going to be out looking for you. Uvasa, you should come el amakom, to the place, ashenistarta shan, that you hid there, biyom amase, on the day of action. The day of action would be today, the day before Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, they didn't do the regular malacha, they didn't do the regular work in the field that they would normally do. Today is a work day, he's telling David HaMelech. So since today is a work day, so you are in the field and you're in hiding, so on the third day, you should return to the hiding place. Because on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, you won't really need to be so hidden, because no one's going to be searching for you on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. But on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, 3 days from today, well, then you really need to be hidden. V'yashavta, you should dwell eitzel ha'even ha'azel, next to the Eben ha'azel, next to this stone, the Eben ha'azel. Now we had the Eben ha'azel before, yes. Azel means to go, to travel. So this was the traveler's stone. That's what it was. It was a landmark for people. So you'll dwell at the Evan next to the Evan Ha'azal. Okay? Now, here's the critical piece that Yonatan adds to the plan. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Va'ani and I, Shlosha Sachitzim, Tzida'ore. The three arrows to its side I will shoot. Mm-hmm. I will shoot three arrows. L'shalach li l'matara, to send for me to a target. So I'm going to shoot three arrows to the side of the stone. You're going to be hiding near the stone. I'm going to shoot three arrows near the stone. V'hine, and behold, eshlach et hanar, I will send the lad, lech mitzah sachitzim, go find the arrows. Im amor omar lanar, if I say to the lad, hinei achitzim mimaka vahina, behold, the arrows are from you and closer, they're closer, they're, you went too far, then, kachenu vavoa, you, David, you yourself should come out of hiding and take those arrows and come to me. Ki shalom lecha, for there is peace to you, ve'ein davar, and there's nothing to worry about. Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem. Vim ko amar lo elam, and if so, I say to the lad, hinei achitzim mimcha vahala, that the arrows are from you and further, so instead of you and closer, it's you and further, lech, then David, you should leave. Kishi lachacha Hashem, for Hashem has sent you away. V'hadavar ha-shedivar non iva'ata, and the thing that you and I spoke about, hinei Hashem beini uveincha ad olam, Hashem is between me and between you forever. The deal that we have made, Hashem is between us forever. So he's added a critical piece. What's the critical piece? That there's going to be this shooting of arrows. Then in addition to hiding, remember what we had said before was David is going to hide, Yonatan is going to find out what's happening with Shaul, and then Yonatan is going to come. If the coast is clear, he'll send an agent to get David. If not, then he himself will come to David. But now Yonatan is adding a sign for David. Right? This is the code. If I overshoot the lad, so that means the lad needs to keep on going to get the arrows. He needs to go. I say to him, the arrow is from you and further. Then David, that's a sign for you that you should run away. If I shoot the arrows closer, then it's a sign to you that, and I say to the lad, the arrows are from you and closer and nearer, then that's a sign that you can come out of hiding, take the arrows and come, and everything is fine. Okay. Now, this code has a significant problem. This is a significant problem. Because, let me ask you, why does David need to be in hiding?
Because
maybe Shaul's trying to kill him. Okay. So, if in fact Shaul is trying to kill him, then they most certainly need a code. Because Yonatan can't go to David and tell him, because if that happens, then he will be discovered. Okay. So if the coast is not clear, they need a code for Yonatan to show David that he needs to run away. So I understand, shoot the arrows further away from the lad, and then tell the lad the arrows are from you and further, and then he'll know that it's time to run away. But if the coast is clear, why do they need a code for David to find out that the coast is clear? Why can't Yonatan just walk into the middle of the field and say, David, come on out, the coast is clear? Why does he have to shoot an arrow that is undershooting the lad, and then call the lad and say, oh, you went too far, come on back? And then now David gets the message, he's allowed to come out of hiding. Just say, David, the coast is clear.
It protects Yonatan because it doesn't. The lad can't. The servant who gets the pick up the arrows can't go to the father and say something bad against Yonatan. It puts him...
Why? If the coast is clear, what's the problem? What does he need a lad for? Just go out and tell David to come out of hiding.
They don't want... Yonatan doesn't want his father to know that he has all this...
It was all planned.
You mean even if things are good?
Yeah.
Okay, so... That we could answer that even if things come out okay, they don't want it to be known that there ever was a plan. So, okay, that's what he meant to say also. Okay, okay.
It looks like treason. You know, if he's going against his father and hiding,
right.
You know, a known teacher.
Okay, good, good. Okay, that is definitely a possibility. And that is perhaps the way the Metsudas learns. But we're going to see that Rashi really explains this differently. And the way Rashi explains it, it is actually a very interesting, critical addition that Yonasan has made to the plan. Vayisaser David basadeh. David hid in the field. Vayi achodesh, and it was Rosh Chodesh. Vayeshev hamelech el halechem la'echol, and the king sat at the bread to eat. Vayeshev hamelech al moshavo kifam b'fam, the king sat at his place, like all other times, El Moshavak here, next to the wall. Vayakom Yehonasan, Yonasan got up. Vayeshev Avner mitzad Shaul, and Avner sat next to Shaul. Vayipalkid mekom David, and David's place was empty. The reason why there's so much detail here, that Yonasan got up and Avner sat down on the side of Shaul, is to show you that David not being there meant that now it was not clear where everybody should sit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way they had originally set it up was Shaul sat in, of course, the main seat, but David sat immediately next to Shaul. But now that David was not there, now there was confusion. Who should sit where? So Yonatan had to get up, and Avner had to sit down. It was a confusing type of situation. It was obvious that David was missing. Below, Diber Shaul Meuma Bayomahu. Shaul did not say anything that day. Ki Amar, for he said, Mikrehu, it is happenstance. Meaning, it's just by chance that David is not here. Bilti Tahor Hu. It must be that he is not pure. Ki Lo Tahor, for he isn't pure. That the reason why he didn't come is not because of any sinister thing. David didn't come because he became impure. He accidentally became Tameh. So he had to go to the mikvah, and that's why he didn't make it for the meal. Okay, fine. So Shaul wrote it off. Vayhini macharas hachodesh hasheni, and it was now the next day, the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Vayipaked makom David, and now David's place is missing again. Vayomer Shaul al Yehonasan bino. Shaul said to Yehonasan his son, Madu lo vaven Yishai gam tumal gam hayom el halachem. How come the son of Yishai did not come also yesterday, also today, to the bread? Where has he been? Vayan Yehonasan es Shaul. So Yonatan answered Shaul, this is going to plan. Nishol nishal David meimadiyad beis lachem. David asked me if he could go to beis lachem. Vayomer, he said, Shalcheni, now send me away, please. Ki zevach mishpachal lanu ba'ir. Because we have a slaughter for the family, meaning we're having a meal for the family in the city. So hu tzivali achi, and my oldest brother commanded to me that I come, meaning Eliyav, David's oldest brother, he commanded that I come. Ve'ata now, if I found favor in your eyes, imol tana, I will slip away. Ve'eratachai, I'll go see my brothers. Al kein lova al shulchan hamelach. That's why he didn't come. That's why David didn't come to the table of the king. Now here's the pivotal moment. How is Shaul going to react? Remember, this is the test. If Shaul says, okay, fine, then we know that Shaul is not out to kill David. But if he gets upset, then we know he wanted David nearby to kill him. So, as we will see, Shaul's reaction is so drastic that there are no doubts anymore. Vayichar av Shaul b'Yehonasan. Shaul became angry with Yehonasan. Vayomelo, and he said to him, Ben na'avat hamardus. The son of Naavas Hamardus.
The straying woman.
Okay, the straying woman. Okay, that's the literal meaning. We'll come back to this in a moment.
Yeah.
Halo Yadati, I know, Kivokah Atal ben Yishai, that you choose the son of Yishai, Levashtecha, to embarrass you, Ulevoshe Servati Mecha, to embarrass the uncoveredness of your mother.
Oh, that's very, very powerful.
Yes, that you're essentially an embarrassment to the family. You're embarrassing everybody. And you are favoring Ben Yishai over your family. All the days that Ben Yishai is living on the land, your kingdom will not be established. Now, send and bring him to me, for he is to be killed. So Shaul is very clearly obvious about what his intentions are. Vayan Yehonasan es Shaul aviv. Yehonasan answered Shaul his father. Vayomer lo, he said to him, Lama yumas? Why should he die? Me'asa, what did he do?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand. His existence may usurp me, but what has he done wrong? Vayotel Sholas Hachanisa Lava Hakoso. Shaul picked up the sword against Yonasan to hit him, to strike him. He was ready to strike his own son. Vayeda Yehonasan Yonasan now knew Kichola Himeim Aviv that it was complete from his father, Bahamisa Stavid, to kill David. Yonasan now knows there's nothing that can be done. His father is going to kill David. Vayakam Yehonasan Meim Ashulchan Bachariyaf. Yonasan got up from the table in anger. The second day of Rosh Chodesh, he did not eat any bread. He fasted. He was sad for David. For his father had shamed him because of David. So he knows that it is all over. And now there's nothing left but to go out to the field and send David away. Okay. Now, we have a few points here that need to be dealt with, and we're going to leave them for next time. One is, what is this reference to Ben Na'avat Tamardus, the son of the straying woman. Okay, what does that mean? What is it referring to, and why does he refer to his own wife that way? That's what Shaul is saying. So we have to talk about that. We have to talk about this sign that Yonasan has this code that Yonasan has established for David, because we have to figure out, why do you need a code if the coast is clear? Now the coast isn't clear, as well, right? Which is now, but why did you need a code if the coast was clear? We have to talk about that. That's two. We have to talk about, what is Rosh Chodesh doing here? What is this? How does Rosh Chodesh tie into this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about that. We need to discuss the Evan Ha'azel, this stone. What is the significance of this stone that that David is hiding next to? So, and there are a few other points which we also will have to cover. So these are the various points, and Mitzvah Hashem, next time we'll cover that in the balance of this parak.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.